Welcome back to Workday Playdate, the podcast that helps you lead with a little more laughter and a lot more human. I'm your host, Erin Diehl, and this month, we are digging into one of the most feared and fumbled leadership skills, presenting. We're talking all about presenting on the show. Now, whether you're keynoting a conference, you're running a Zoom team call, or you're nervously raising your hand in a meeting, your presenting and how you show up matters. But here's the catch. Before we wow the crowd, we have to clear the clutter in our minds, in our calendars, in our confidence. And that's where today's episode comes in. It's called Put Down the To-Do List, The Power of Doing Nothing with the incredible Sabina Nawaz. Now, yes, I said doing nothing. And yes, it might just be the most productive thing you do all week. So picture this. You're crushing it at work. Your calendar looks like a game of Tetris. You just got promoted and handed a major project. And instead of feeling pumped, you feel like you're about to implode. Sound familiar? Listen to this, my peeps. You are not alone. You are so not alone. And you are definitely not broken. Today's guest, Sabina Nawaz, is here to tell you something radical, that doing nothing is not lazy. It's leadership. Let me brag on her for a second. So Sabina is the author of You're the Boss, Become the Manager You Want to Be in Others' Need, and is one of the most sought-after executive coaches on the planet. She's advised Fortune 500 execs. She's taught at Northeastern and Drexel, and she led Microsoft's Exec Development Program, where, y'all, for real, she literally advised Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer. Casual, right? She's been featured in HBR, Fast Company, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, and today she's here with us because when she says blank space is a productive strategy, we listen. So, I want to keep it real, as I always do on this show. You are listening to this podcast on your commute or while unloading the dishwasher or between back-to-back meetings. You are booked, you are busy, and you are buried under a to-do list longer than a CVS receipt, and those receipts are so long. Like, why are they so long? We see you. Here's what the data says. Okay. According to Asana's Autonomy of Work report, knowledge workers spend 60% of their time on work about work, not the actual deep work that moves the needle. Harvard Business Review found that burnout costs companies up to $190 billion a year in healthcare spending alone. And Gallup, they found that only 15% of employees worldwide are engaged at work. That is not just an engagement issue, it's an energy issue. And Sabina's blank space strategy is a solution. So let's get right into our playdate with Sabina. Okay, y'all. So listen, Sabina dropped like a really fun fact for me before we hit record that she has done improv before. So not only am I thrilled to have her here to talk about her work, but like as secretly as a podcast host, this gives me great joy and I'm feeling really giddy inside. So welcome to the show, Sabina.
Thank you. Thank you. I am so excited to yes and our way through this conversation.
Like already, this is fun for me. So thank you, peeps. I'm hoping you're having fun too. This is fun for me. Okay. So let's just start off with first and foremost, setting an intention for our time together. We always have a theme for the show every month. And this month's theme, we're talking about presenting, presentation skills. So it doesn't have to be in that line, but just knowing that that's the intention we've set around the show this month is really helping people present, whether it's one-on-one, in-person, groups, large groups, conferences, whatever it is. What's an intention that you want to set for our time here together?
Well, since you mentioned presentation, even this is a presentation because it's presenting something to others. And my intention is to be radically present.
I just kind of got goosebumps a little bit. I like that.
What's yours, Erin?
I love this, Sabina. My intention is joy today.
Oh,
right here. I was telling you this before. I love this show. I do. I love it so much. I love our community. We call our community the peeps. And I think for me, sometimes I get so caught up in the logistics of the show that it's like I've missed the whole reason I did it in the first place. So yeah. I want to be radically present with you and find some joy today. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And you wanted to know more about Radically Present?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
This is a lesson I've learned in my life that when we are radically present, that is fully there. And I don't just mean sometimes like my husband who goes, yes, of course I'm listening and he can play back what I've said, but really yeah. hasn't been processing what I've said. So it's just with every cell in your body, your energy shifting to this is the only thing I need to pay attention to right now. That's to me, radical presence. And speaking of which, I forgot to turn off the sound on my phone. So I am going to do that.
Let me do it too.
In case you think, looking down, she's not radically present already. What's up with that?
I love it, Sabina. I'm super here for you. Wait, can we talk to that for just a moment? Like, I love that very much. So thank you for giving me that gift. Secondly, technology has been such a non-radically, it has been present in my life so much so that I have turned off all notifications on my phone. Literally, can I just tell you, it's been such a gift. I turned off every app's notification and then I turned off my texting app. Like, so I can't even see if I have text until I hit the box and go in when I want to, because I would be talking to you. And right now I have my notes on my phone. So I'm looking down and if, let's say a text came in, it would just take me so far out of the moment. So
exactly. And what I love about what you're saying, Erin, is it puts you in charge versus the noise in charge.
That's it. Don't you like how that siren came in the background trying to distract us just then? We are in charge. We are in charge. Okay. So I want to just, I'm radically present with you, Sabina. I love this vibe. You are just giving us the gifts here. So you've worked with top execs everywhere, like across the globe. And when we heard from you, my team and I were like, yes, like this just sounds like such a, like a spa. Like I want to talk to Sabina because you talk about doing nothing as being a powerful leadership strategy. Like, can I just take my bra off and we talk for a minute? Give me this. Tell me more about that.
My book, You're the Boss, is about navigating the intersection of pressure and power. Now, you know, Erin, we like to say power corrupts, but that's actually wrong. Power doesn't corrupt. Pressure corrupts. Pressure is this silent corruptor. It's everywhere. It's constant. It changes our good intentions when unmanaged into destructive habits, and it impacts everybody. And then when we have power, in addition to pressure, it isolates us. It's the great divider, and we don't realize the effect our actions are having when we're not showing up as our best self under pressure. So when under pressure, the best way to manage it is to do absolutely nothing. Because think about it. Most of us, most of you listening to this, what do you do when inordinate amounts of pressure land on you, in your inbox, on your calendar, in your brain? We do more. We hunker down. We make deals with ourselves and our partners that, oh yeah, we'll get to that later. That gym workout, gone out the window. Date night, non-existent. Sleep, disturbed. We're writing sticky notes to ourselves in the middle of the night. So our brain goes into hyperactivity mode. The opposite is what is needed when you're under pressure. This is a practice I call blank space.
Yes.
It's 2 hours a week, back to back. So a chunk of 2 hours a week that you take to completely unplug. No electronics, no conversations, no reading.
No TV, no shows, no numbing out, nothing. You're like, nada. Okay, wait. So let me break this down really quick. I got to make sure I get this. So I'm putting 2 hours in my calendar now. Is this work hours? Are these when I'm supposed to be at work?
Yes. So ideally it's work hours.
Okay. So I'm putting this in my calendar and I've loved some of the names that you gave it. We'll talk about that in a minute. So putting this in my calendar, I'm giving myself 2 hours. I can't have my phone. I can't have my laptop. I can't have TV. I can't have, and can I have music?
Maybe.
Okay. Can I have a notebook and pen?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. So So here we are. Okay. So I blocked this out. Where am I going? What am I doing?
Out of the office.
Okay.
Ideally, even out of home. So not in your regular surroundings.
Okay.
A client of mine in Seattle, his goal is to sample every pie shop in the city. So during his blank space time, he goes to a new pie shop every time and he orders two pies. He also works out. So he can do that.
Yeah.
Every week he's got two pies and his blank space and he's got a blank notebook with crayons and he sits and draws and things come up as a result. And someone else goes to the mountains and just sits in nature and walks there. Another person goes to the Fairmont in their city, which overlooks a beautiful mountain range. And he's gone there so regularly now, people know exactly what he's going to order. He orders the same brunch items and he sits and has brunch, treats himself to this gorgeous, expansive view. And that expansive view also starts to expand his mindset.
I knew you were going to go there. I liked that. I liked that. I felt that with you. Okay. So first and foremost, have you ever read The Artist Way by Julia Cameron?
Julia Cameron. Yes.
It's like an artist date, but for work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Or it's like a meditation, but for work.
Yes. Yes. Right? Okay. Wait, this is like blowing my mind for a minute because I'm going to tell you straight up. I am a meditator. So I'm thinking about even what you're saying yesterday, Sabina. I was like in it. I had some team things I had to deal with. I had some annoying calls I had to deal with. I had like the things were just like hit. And so I took my notebook and I have a beautiful backyard. I'm very grateful. My husband and I have worked really hard to make it like this healing oasis. And so I go back there with my notebook and pen and my dog. And I just like free wrote, which is also some like kind of artist
way.
And but it was more about feelings inside versus like business. Would you equate that as the same thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely the same thing. There is no judgment. Whatever comes out, comes out. Now, it could be a notebook. It could be you just sitting there. It could be you recording something, but be careful when you're using a device to record that you don't get distracted by those notifications and texts. It could be anything. It could be no note-taking of any sort and just being there. Now, that is very hard for people to do. You know, we forget that we're human beings and not human doings. So any way that eases this for you, do it. Some people are more work-focused where they might have sticky notes everywhere over the week. And then they bring those sticky notes with them and they look at all the sticky notes. This happened to a client of mine. She looked at all the sticky notes that she was coming up with and realized it wasn't any one of those sticky notes that she needed to think about. When she looked at all of them together, she went, oh my gosh, we are missing this huge opportunity in Asia. She ended up writing a memo that went up the chain, got double promoted and put in charge of that work because she gave herself that time to step back and gain perspective. So it really depends. I mean, another client of mine was very successful in what he did, but realized that this was no longer what he wanted to do in his blank space time. And now does what I do for a living. So, which no one would have ever predicted at that stage. But by giving yourself the gift of time, one, it gives your brain a rest. Two, it put things in perspective. All those little notes don't matter. So why am I waking up at 3 a.m. worrying about it? And three, and perhaps most important, you realize you are enough.
That's right. Ooh.
When we have pressure, when we feel stuck, we're like, who do I go to talk to? Which expert do I hire? Oh my gosh, I feel like such a loser. I'm never going to come up with this idea. And all those other people have it all figured out. And suddenly, when I give myself the quiet space, when I let the noise drown out, the signal is really strong from inside me.
Isn't it?
And I have the answer hiding in plain sight. I just haven't given it the space to come up.
Sabina, I knew this would feel like a spa and I'm like there. Okay, so essentially we're giving ourselves permission to turn inward. It's like an inward play date, if you will. And I love that people have like sticky notes. I love they have crayons. I love that like I have a 6-year-old, okay? And he's turning 6. And you know, he'll just sit down and draw and he'll just sit down and just create. And it's like, right. as adults, we don't do that. We do not do that. So I feel like this is like just giving us this opportunity and permission slip to realize that we have the answers. We don't need. And let me say this. I still have a team of experts that I surround myself with, the healers, the therapists, you know, all the things. But generally, I'm coming up with the answers with those people anyway. They're just pulling it out of me.
They're facilitating it. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. So for the skeptics out there, Sabina.
Yes.
I want you to address this question. How can it actually make us more productive? How can doing nothing make us more productive?
That's because we conflate productivity with busyness.
Mm.
We conflate activity with impact. So sometimes being silent will, if it gives you a game-changing insight that shifted this person's business for them, wouldn't you say that's productive? Wouldn't you say that's impactful? So what I would invite everybody to write down right now, what is your definition of productivity? And by definition, I don't mean some heady, brainy definition. I mean, what do you do when you say you're being productive? And divide it into two halves, okay? In one half, write down what looks productive. And on the other half, write down where you feel productive.
Mm-hmm.
Notice if there's a difference between those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm already doing it. And I'm like, didn't need to do that. Shouldn't have done that. So I really, really love this. It's almost like, and I always joke about this. Sometimes my best ideas come when I'm in the shower, you know,
exactly.
when I'm like, I have long hair, so it takes me forever to wash my hair. So it's like, you know, if I'm in the shower, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just sort of there.
Yes.
And it's in that moment when I dry my hair that some of my best ideas come. And this sounds really, you know, fluffy, but it's so true because essentially I'm not fixating on being productive. I'm just radically present. There's that word in that moment. And it's allowing me to do some really deep thinking.
Absolutely. And you're not alone, Erin. This does not sound fluffy. It actually is backed up by brain science and research that says that our biggest insights come when we allow that part of our brain to rest. We're on all the time. I mean, we charge our devices overnight. And we don't even sleep well sometimes when our brain is going on overdrive under pressure. So in the shower, on our commute, while exercising, that's when our creative brain lights up and bing, 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 all these insights that we didn't even think we had. So this is just giving it some structure, giving it a home, a sanctuary. Every week.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. It's like so refreshing. I like feel empowered right now to do it. Just
awesome.
Wipe my calendar clean. No, I'm just kidding. So wait, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, so there's a couple of things for the skeptics or the people who might be hesitant. It is a big, initially, it will feel like a big commitment to block out 2 hours. And you're going to find all sorts of reasons or excuses or genuine incidents that prevent you from doing that. So start with a micro habit, which I also write about in You're the Boss. Do a pause for 30 seconds every day. 30 seconds. And just go, I am pausing. That's long. That's how long you need to do it.
Oh, wait. Sabina, can we do it right now? Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, let's do it.
Because I was like, I felt like I needed that pause. Okay, should I time us? I'll do it because I want even the listeners, the peeps listening,
to
feel this with us because they're listening right now while probably walking or maybe even taking a shower. Who knows? We're in the shower with people, very intimate. But let's give them some pause and let's give ourselves this pause.
Perfect. And as you pause, notice either what's going on in your body. Or what's going on in your mind?
Okay, here we go. I've got my timer on. We go. That was 30 seconds.
What did you notice, Erin?
I was like, it's like little internal me was like jumping up and down, like, thank God, you know, she was like doing a cartwheel. And I'll say this, I noticed, I felt my heartbeat. I felt alive. And I noticed, like, I took a deep breath in. As I first started, I actually closed my eyes and I was like, man, you haven't done this yet today. And I do meditate, I will say.
Yes.
And some days it gets away from me. And today I have not done that. And it felt so grounding and so good.
You know, your voice has changed. Are you aware of that?
No, but I do hear it now that you said it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like more calm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in a lower register.
Yeah.
I felt my shoulders actually physically going down.
Yeah.
That's 30 seconds. 30 seconds. And if 30 seconds is too hard, do it for 15. So start small. The other barrier that people run into is, again, that outside world, you know, those shoulds, what looks productive versus what truly feels productive. And people tell me, well, I don't want my partner to find out I'm doing this because I haven't mowed the lawn. And they're going to go, what? You're going to do nothing for 2 hours? I don't want my employees to know. I don't want my boss to know. So, okay, at first, simply block the calendar and write something important sounding on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is, I saw this when I was researching you. Give us some titles. We need to know what do we say.
When okay. Strategic planning.
I love it. What else?
Key customer initiative.
Yes.
Something very important sounding.
Yes.
So first, no one hijacks that time on your calendar, and then they don't know what you're really up to. They will know it's strategic planning when you come back with that big insight and that big aha. A lot of people sneak out. On the other hand, a lot of people are completely transparent about it. And it sets a beautiful culture. It gives permission to other people to do the same thing, especially if you're the boss. It releases others from this facade of being productive. How many employees are pretending to be productive or looking productive when they're actually on Etsy shopping during work hours?
Right. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the dang Etsy? Why they always get us? But I will tell you, this is a beautiful practice. And I think a lot of leaders listening, I think that was a lot of in the back of their minds. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And I like the starting with the micro moments, the 15 seconds, moving it to a 30-second daily. Okay, sorry for interrupting. Listen, I had to tell you about something because let's be honest, the most presentations we see are one espresso shot away from a nap, but not yours, not after this. I want to welcome you to ImproveIt's Presentation Skills Workshop, where improv meets impact. Now, ImproveIt is my company. If we've just met, I'm Erin Diehl, the founder of ImproveIt. We are an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. We teach people in leadership how to use improv to improve their performance. And this Presentation Skills Workshop is going to change your life. In just 2 hours in person or 90 minutes on Zoom in your comfiest pants, we'll help your team bring the energy, clarity, and confidence every presenter dreams of. We'll teach the magic formula, positivity plus preparation equals a productive presentation. You'll learn how to warm up your mind before you hit the mic, use your natural presentation style like a superpower, and stop sounding like a robot reading a script. It's perfect for groups of up to 100 in person or 50 people online because, yes, your camera on Zoom game matters too. So ditch the bullet points and bring the boom. Your team's next presentation is about to be their standing ovation moment. Book today at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. We'll bring the fun. You bring the people. I took my team, Sabina, to a 4-day work week in 2024. And so I'm just thinking for me, even. I'm like, would this be something I do on my Fridays? Is this something I do? But what's hard, I think, from a leadership seat, and I'm speaking probably for myself and hopefully for the peeps community, is as a leader, and we always say this as entrepreneurs, working in your business sometimes has to happen. But what you're really saying is working on your business is really what's going to drive productivity forward. It's going to empower the team to be more creative. It's going to make you feel like you're actually moving the needle, which sometimes I'm literally like, did I just shuffle papers all day? Right? Like, am I just shuffling papers? So I love this idea. What would you say to somebody who feels guilty doing it or anxious stepping away? What would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, start in smaller increments if you can. And second, do it despite feeling anxious and guilty. Give it a solid 3 months and you will have results. The results are what will remove that sense of anxiety or guilt, because you realize, oh my gosh, I got actually so much more done and so much more important stuff done versus the urgent stuff, that that guilt and anxiety will take care of itself. But your first few blank space dates will likely be filled with your anxious mind, your guilty mind, if you are already leaning towards that. Even then, at least, at the very least, you will come back with a better rested brain.
I know. It's like, so, and I, in one of my keynotes, I talk about the brain itself. And so there's so much data that I've learned. I did not say this, but I do know that when we activate our, when we activate or say words, or we get ourselves in spaces where we have more loving thoughts, or we have more kindness and peace, we activate our frontal, our prefrontal cortex, or what I call the frontal lobe. And that frontal lobe allows us to think more logically and have more reasoning. So if we come out of a great, you know, meditation or yoga practice, and we've activated that part of our brain, we're able to just think at a higher level and think more critically. And that's what I see this doing too. It's like a meditation, but active.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Another thing to deal with the anxiety or the guilt is, let's say you have your blank space from 8 to 10 a.m. on a Friday. Maybe from 3 to 5 p.m. on a Thursday, you block out for doing time, where you check off all those things that are going to make you feel anxious, or as many of those as possible. You make that phone call so you're feeling less guilty about, oh, I'm neglecting my best friend while I'm indulging in this wasted time.
Yeah.
So, you could take the time right before that and do some of that. To answer your question too, on the 4-day work week, and should I be doing this on a Friday? In an ideal world, you're actually doing it within your work week.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that.
And again, I'm a pragmatist. So start any way you can. Start it on the weekend if you have to. Start it on your Friday, on your day off in the work week. But ideally, you're doing it during the work week, because first of all, it's not one more thing you get to squeeze out your own personal time for.
Yeah.
In this hustle culture that we have. And secondly, it also builds a capacity for reflection. This is not something you do beside work. This is something you start to integrate into work. It becomes a way of being and thinking. And when we do, when we learn how to make space for it during the work week, whether it's a 4-day work week or a 7-day work week, we then automatically find ourselves doing this reflection in the middle of a meeting. We might go, wait a minute, let's step back, because I'm just thinking. And then you have that higher order thinking that is really the game-changing conversation you need to have in that otherwise mind-numbingly boring meeting.
Oh my God. Okay, Sabine, I love this like so hard, because okay, I have two questions. I'm trying to think which one makes sense first. I'm going to start with this one. Let's say I wanted to do this. Like, I did a couple of these on my own and I saw the magnificent results. I already know they'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Would this be, as a remote leader, something I could say to my team? Hey, we're going to either all jump on a Zoom and just like mute ourselves and do this for together for an hour of blank space, or, you know, take this next hour. We're all going to do a blank space moment. We get in, maybe it's an hour. If I feel like I start with a micro, or, you know, an hour or 30 minutes of blank space. Would you recommend doing it as a group? Or is it something that you think as a leader, you should just do on your own time and carve out on your own time?
I would do it on your own time, especially if you're on the call. It's going to shift. Because whenever power, remember pressure and power together, you could be the most wonderful boss ever, which I'm sure you are. It's still going to shift the room because of your title, not because of who you are, Erin. So you don't want this to be performative.
Right.
Like, well, my boss is closing her eyes. Should I close my eyes? Oh, no, wait. If I close my eyes, then I won't be able to see what that peer is doing. And they did to do things better. You know, all this stuff goes on that shapes it. You want to be more unbidden what's coming to you and at you. Now, some bosses might be afraid of encouraging their team to do this because especially in remote work, bosses are also afraid that people are not actually working as hard, which may or may not be the case, but that's a fear that many managers have. So I would encourage you to do this starting in small increments and perhaps going, you know, in a month, we're going to talk about what were some reflections you had, if you're willing to share.
Love that. I love that. Okay. Needed that clarification. My second question is, I know you've done this with so many different types of leaders. What are some of the, and you don't have to name names, but what are some of the breakthroughs? Like what's like your best case study breakthrough of somebody doing this?
So a couple of things we've already talked about, the complete career shift, dramatic career shift, the huge aha about the business missing an entire geography in the market and how to shape that. There are so many others. One was around, and it doesn't all have to be on this macro scale. There was this one around this person that really bothered my client. It was a conflict, but my client was really scared to confront this person, to have the more direct conversation. It was really eating up this person. And so by doing some blank space, they got crystal clarity on how to frame the conversation.
Mm.
So the conversation wasn't, it didn't become as personal, which is what they were worried about. It became more about this thing that the other person really cared about and how their behavior was self-sabotaging that very thing their colleague cared about. So who here doesn't have those difficult conflicts, difficult conversations? Those materially shift when you have some blank space to think.
Oh my God. I love it. I mean, I could just see and feel all the different ways that this would help me personally. I hope even those 30 seconds, like I'm still feeling the relief of those 30 seconds, Sabina. Like it was beautiful.
Okay. So let me yes and that one.
Yes. Yes.
When you ask that question about your team, maybe it's in your team meetings. What if you started the team meeting with 30 seconds of being? And that doesn't mean you all start picking up your phone.
Yeah.
30 seconds, let's just hold the space. So what if you started that way and set that intention for your team meetings?
You know, I started working with a coach myself and I love how she does that. She starts her meetings with like, let's take a deep breath and let's set an intention for our time together here. And I think what we do on my team is on Mondays, we jump right into how was the weekend. And it's fun to hear those things because we're remote and we want to connect with each other. I got to figure out a new way to do that because I really like jumping in and just being intentional. And maybe the connection on the weekend is through Slack. And like you put a picture in your Slack channel of what your weekend plan was. And then we get in the meeting together and we get intentional and into the body and into the breath.
Yeah. Yes. And one other substitute for the weekend thing. I'm also all about time efficiency.
Me too. And we're 4-day work week. So it's like,
yeah. So sometimes the weekend story can be very long.
Thank you. Yes.
And it's all good. But
right.
I think a Teams or a Slack channel is great for that. You could maybe after the silence, what's one word that captures your frame of mind right now?
Oh,
and that often is a very, I can cover 15 people in about 2 minutes. But it's really rich data that's relevant to our meeting. And then at the end of the meeting, you do a checkout. What's one word that captures your frame of mind now? And sometimes the word is hungry because it's at lunchtime. But
that's right.
It's also great feedback for you on how the meeting went. Like if someone's checkout word is confused, you know you need to follow up with them. That's if it's right. energized, you know what energized them.
Oh my God, Sabina, you're changing everything for me. Okay, so I'm now changing Mondays, okay, to how was your weekend? Put a picture and tell us about it in the Slack channel. Then I'm going to start the meeting with a deep breath grounding. And then I'm going to say, what's one word that is coming up for you right now in this moment? And then we start the meeting. And then at the end, check out what's one word that's coming up for you now at the end.
Yes.
Oh, Sabina! I love that. That's good yes. stuff. That is good stuff.
So here's another insight I had during my last blank space is we spend a lot of time thinking about how we start things. We don't spend as much time thinking about how we end things. So in the meeting, not just the check-in, check-out, what if you had 30 seconds of silence at the very end of the meeting? It says, how do you want to leave the space and enter whatever else you're going to do next?
Okay, I'm so here for this. Okay, so here's the deal. I have to end this show, and I don't want to because I could talk to you forever, but we're going to do this way. Okay, so first of all, I always ask every guest this. Two questions. Number one, how are you going to make work more playful today? Tell me that answer.
How am I going to? I just did.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Can I cheat?
Yes,
can
that's
I cheat?
It.
Because you helped me. It is, you know, your word joy is so infectious. And I went, yes. And I can just feel my body coming alive with joy. You can hear it in my voice, I think, Erin. It has already become more playful today. And then I'm just going to channel that into my next conversation.
Okay. Love this so much. That makes me so happy. That's my joy when I can bring joy to somebody else. So thank you for selfishly helping me. And then let me ask you this last question, because our peeps are going to want to know, where can they find you, Sabina? Give them all the things. And then we're going to end with our 30 seconds of breath.
I knew you were going to do that.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. All right. So tell them where they can find you.
The best place to find me is my website, sabinanawaz.com, which I'm sure will be in the show notes. And once you buy my book, You're the Boss, which is sold wherever books are sold, you can go to the website and download specific tools, worksheets, scripts, book discussion guides, even a workshop you might want to do based on the book with your team. So just go to my website. And then there's the usual, you can follow me on all the different platforms.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I love that you even said it's in the show notes. It's like you've been on a podcast before. I love it. Okay. So here we go. We are going to end just like how we did in the middle, but we're going to end intentionally. So let's do a 30-second moment of just silence. Here we go. That was 30 seconds. I loved that so much. Sabina, how are you feeling? What's one word to check us out today?
Fulfilled.
Oh, me too. This was dope. I want to talk to you forever. You're the coolest. Truly, truly. So, all right. All of my Workday Playdate peeps, you have to check out Sabina, buy her book, go to her website, do all the things. She's the real deal, pun intended. That is my last name. And I'm just so thrilled we had you on the show. You gave me so many gifts today. You were radically present. I feel so much joy because of this conversation. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Erin.
Y'all, I could talk to Sabina all day. Thank you, Sabina. You just gave us permission to pause. And I think our nervous systems collectively exhaled. So, all right, my peeps, here's your homework. It's the Workday Playdate Challenge. Dun, da, da, da. I'm going to ask you to schedule 2 hours of blank space this week. Block it on your calendar and, like Sabina said, call it something intimidating like strategic foresight or executive deep dive, whatever it is. Now, if your 2 hours feels really crazy, which to me, I'm doing a 4-day work week, so I'm like, where am I going to put this in? Start small, as she suggested, maybe 30 minutes, 30 seconds even. But during that time, you have no meetings, you have no tasks, you have no email. It's just you, a journal, and some reflection. And I want you to ask yourself in this blank space time, what is taking up most of my mental real estate? What is mine to do and what's not mine? And what do I really want to say yes to? Because here's the thing. When we create space, we create clarity. We activate those frontal lobes, as I mentioned in the show. And the best presenters, the best leaders, they don't just fill space. They know when to leave room for impact. So if you love this episode, please share it with a leader who needs a little less hustle and a little more stillness. And remember, we see you, we believe in you, and you don't have to do more to matter more. And now, almost cried on that one. So until next time, this is Erin Diehl reminding you to improve it, play more, and take a blank space break. You have earned it. Remember, every workday is a playdate waiting to happen. I'll see you next time.